This is the West Point Sermon Podcast. Thank you for joining us online this week. If you'd like to give or support West Point Church in any way, you can visit westpoint.org/give. We hope you enjoy today's message and have a great rest of your week.
Well, hey, everybody. Good morning.
Good morning.
What an amazing setting. I mean, I know that part... For some of you, because this is our first time here, some of you might be thinking, man, I wish I was inside. But this is pretty cool, if you ask me. I feel like we could have somebody passing out lemonades and it would be like nothing else. So welcome. My name is Micah. This is my wife, Essie, short for Esther. And we are so thankful to be with you today. Thank you, Pastor Paul and Laura. We love you guys, and we've only known you for a little bit. I'm going to also thank the church, you guys as a whole, all of you here. I know there's people that are not here, but thank you for being, invested in missions around the world and in global work. People that are, going overseas to just share the truth, right? And you guys support them and one of you came up to me earlier and just talked about how amazing people have come and spoke and talked about what they're doing around the world. And so it's just cool to hear that just like from the first minute of being here. And so it's amazing. Thank you for being passionate about that.
Yeah, so we're, again, so excited to be with you. Mike and I, we have our three boys. You might have seen them running around earlier. Judah is 4, Cyrus is 2.5, and our newest member, Justice, is 7 months, and we are all going to be heading to Northern Asia. And some of you might be thinking, how in the world did you decide to do this and take your crazy little boys to the other side of the world? And we're just so excited to share how that happened.
Yeah, and so we just want to start with who we are a little bit so that you can connect with us from a distance, from over there. I grew up here in Minnesota. Coon Rapids, Minnesota is where I grew up, middle school, high school. My grandparents lived in Atwater, so we would drive up this road right here all the time. I grew up going to churches just like this. People like us in the front talking about their journey and where they're going and how you can be a part of it. And so my story and like my stirring in my heart to this kind of started with that, I think, just being in a culture of going and of telling people about the truth, right? And so I remember I went to college after I graduated high school, and I wanted to be a rock star. I like knew nothing about music, but I thought I did. I went to North Central University down in the cities, just a great university down there. That's where I met Essie. And as I was there, God began to work in my heart a little, and because I was open to it, and he started to speak to me about being a father to fatherless people and a defender of defenseless people, father to orphans, I like that whole idea. And I was like, okay, what does this mean? Can I do that being a rock star, God? God... I would say that I chose to change my major, and I changed it to intercultural studies. And when you're an intercultural studies major, you go places. It's kind of part of your degree. And so I got to choose from a list of places to go, and I chose Northern Asia, a big country there in Northern Asia. And I actually ended up going twice as I was a student by the grace of God. And every time I left there, I looked down at the city from the plane and think, wow, that was an amazing time. I don't know if I'll ever be back. But I loved it, you know, and I'm a kind of a person, I just love things. I just, doesn't matter what we're doing. I'm like, hey, that was great. Let's do that. And so as I was dating Essie, I said, hey, I think that Northern Asia is probably in our future someday. And she started crying. And then we got married. God has a good way of kind of taking what you fear and helping you to not fear it or have peace despite the fear. And so Essie's going to talk about her story a little bit.
Yeah, so like Micah said, we had our first conversation when we were dating. So I didn't go into marrying him not knowing this was going to be in our future, right? He didn't pull a fast one on me. But so I also grew up in church and love the Lord, but I never thought that I would, you know, live in another country. That never crossed my mind. But like Micah said, we had that first conversation, and I thought, okay, you know, that'll be like way in our future, you know, way far away. And then after we got married, we had our first serious conversation about it. And like he said, I broke down crying. It did not go well. but I knew that was going to be in our future, and I wrestled with it. You know, I thought, Lord, I want to be obedient, but that's going to be too hard. But it was about 6 months later where we had an opportunity to choose if we were going to go, because we were there previously back in 2014. And I said, okay, I know, God, that you're speaking. I told Mike, I know that he's speaking to you, but I don't want to go kicking and screaming. I want to be excited, and I want to be passionate. And so I said, I'm just going to have to talk to the Lord and say, you're going to have to give me an excitement and a passion for it. And really, we had to decide within a few days whether we were going to pursue it. And within those 2 days, it wasn't like this big, crazy moment. It was just like the Lord was just speaking in a still, small voice, you know, to my heart through things I was reading in the Word, that now is the time. And so I was like, okay, Micah, now's the time. And it was as soon as I just submitted and said, yes, now's the time, I didn't have this, like, anxious feeling anymore, this worry. I mean, yes, it was still so many unknowns, but I was like, yes, we're doing this. And it was honestly such a miracle, just complete turnaround. And, you know, when God asks us to do difficult things, things that we never thought we could do, when you say yes to him, he just gives you this overwhelming peace that he promises in his word. It's so real and it's so true.
Yes. And so we got to go. And we spent a year and about 2 months there in a city of a million. And I've yet to meet a person that's heard of this city. So if you want to test that, you can talk to me at the back later. We went there as a couple without kids. This was before we had any kids. And God really made a way for us to get there. And we taught English at a university there, and we were way in over our heads, honestly. And yet God still, like, equipped us. That whole verse about how he works in our weaknesses was so true, and it's so true, God does. And so we got to do that. We got to build relationships with students at this university. We actually lived on campus in an apartment. We had, as we were kind of like intern workers there, we had a leader or a boss kind of, and she was 77, this amazing woman named Elaine from Pennsylvania. She had been there for 4 years, and after we left, she stayed until she was 79, I believe. And so no matter how old you are, we've been talking a lot about age today. You can sing that song no matter what age you are, but also you can be called by God to do something no matter how old you are. It's just our job to say yes to that. And so we were there, and we loved it. We, as the time was coming to an end, we began to say, God, do you want us to stay? Do you want us to go back? What do you want us to do? We were open, and we had this piece about going back, coming back here to America, and served on staff at a church in Sauk Center called River of Life, where Pastor Paul just mentioned Kyle. Pastor Kyle's amazing, and we're going to have to thank him very much for all the good things he said about us, which I hope are all true. And so we were there for 4.5 years. We just, our last day at that church was January 8th. I was youth pastor, music pastor there. Just loved it. I mean, we just were enjoying that life, that the small city. I was like, we're going to raise our kids here. They're going to play on the football team. Everybody's going to know the name Rouser. They're going to bring all their friends to youth group. And it was in that season that God spoke to us again. And so Essie's going to share about that.
Yes. So as Micah said, we were just loving our time at our church. And it was about 2.5 years ago. We had 2 kids at that point. But then we were at a conference at a service. And it was during just a worship time. And it was really incredible. The Lord just spoke again in his still small voice to both Micah and I at the same time. We looked at each other and we didn't know what was happening, but we were both like crying. And, you know, before this point, you know, we would reminisce about our time in Northern Asia. And, you know, I would think, oh, I loved it. Loved when we were there, but I don't think I would ever go back. And I didn't even want to ask. I didn't even want to be open about it because I had a feeling if I was, then God would want us to go back. So that was my heart. And we were at this service, and he just kept saying over and over and over again, am I worth it? Am I worth it? Am I worth it? And he just opened my heart and softened my heart that I'd hardened towards him and reminded me that he's so worth it. He's the reason I live and I breathe and he gives me purpose. And it was just such an incredible moment. And at the same time, he was just showing Micah faces of people and friends that we had there. And he said, if you don't go, Micah, who is going to go? And so it was just an incredible moment where God just made it so clear. And, you know, we wrestled with it for a little while, but God has just continued to confirm in our hearts and our lives and brought again this excitement that once we said, okay, God, we're gonna say yes to you, he's just brought us such joy and excitement for this journey.
Right. And so that was 2.5 years ago that we had this, like, moment of, like, okay, wow, I guess we got to think about going back. And so now here we are in front of you guys. Yeah. And you guys are awesome, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Like, you're one of the more animated churches that we've been to. So this is a good thing. Seriously.
You make us feel good.
Yes. Yeah, and so we're going to be heading back there. We want to leave January. Maybe it might be a little later with all the quarantine things that have been happening. But we just want to shoot for the goal that is a little bigger than we think is possible. So January is kind of our goal. We are doing this every Sunday, sometimes Wednesdays, sometimes weekdays, just kind of sharing our story. And our goal is to call people to obedience to God, whatever that is for you. Maybe it is going overseas and sharing the truth. Maybe it's here sharing the truth. Maybe it's at the gas station down the road. I don't know. But, you know, God is speaking to you. Maybe he spoke to you while we were worshiping. Maybe it was on the way to church. God can speak anywhere. And so when he spoke to us at that service, it was actually during, like, where they're showing people that have passed away. And that's when God spoke to us. Nobody was talking about.
It's like a memorial video for pastors and.
Yeah. And so it just, God can speak at any time. Yeah. So. We want to go long term. We want to raise our kids there. We want to invest and plant roots in the culture, which if you think of this place we're going, you're thinking, man, that's a little scary. Do you know what they're about there? But yes, we do.
We know.
And we are just wanting to say, okay, God, we'll say yes. And, we know that our boys are going to be better at the language than us. We know that they're going to know the culture better than us in some ways, but that's just part of it, right? And so we're going to learn the language when we land right away, bam, we're going to learn the language. And then from there, we want to move to another city with a team, do a coffee shop or some kind of business, teach English again, maybe. And we really have a pull in our hearts specifically for Muslims in this country. You're thinking, there's Muslims in this country? Yeah, there's a lot, and there's what we would call unreached. They're like fully 100% all Muslim, like no believers. And so we have a pull towards them. So we don't know what that'll look like, but we just want to share that with you. So be praying for that, like God, that God would make that clear to us. And then the last thing is we want you to we have the table. Grab a card. We have a little prayer card. It's the one with our face on it. You can really grab any of those cards back there, and it'll be a good thing. But with the one with our face on it, just will remind you to pray for us and for this country that we're going to. And then we also want to invite anybody that is that's looking to invest somewhere. We think, and we've never said this. This is the first time I've said this. I think that we're a worthwhile investment for the goal of reaching these people. And so if God is speaking to you that way, we want to invite you to do that. There's also so many other places as well that need people. Also, and lastly, I don't usually say this, we want to invite any of you that are open to going to this place to come with us. there are 440 unreached people groups in this place, in this country. And I told my brother, I said, if you could give me 440 couples, it still wouldn't be enough. We need so many more to go. And so God knows all these things, right? And so we're just thankful. I'm going to have Essie pray. But, yeah, again, stop at our table back there and put your name on our email list, whatever. We just want to be a tool for you guys to possibly go one day. So, yeah.
God, you are so good. We just thank you that you choose to use us, that you choose us, God. And we pray that you would continue to speak to us this morning. Thank you for all that you've already done today, God. And I just pray our hearts would be softened, our hearts would be open to hear what you want to say, that we would know your love more, we would know who you are more today, Jesus. I pray you would speak through Micah, this message you've put on his heart. I pray you would, Holy Spirit, you would use it. You would move through it, God. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so I'm also going to share just a challenge from the Bible, which I'm excited about, something that has been on my heart for the last couple weeks. And so I'm just going to share it with you guys. Is that okay? Cool. Are you guys doing all right? All right, not too warm? All right, cool. If you have a Bible or an app on your phone, would you open it to Genesis 50? So the last chapter of Genesis is where we're going to be. If you have a paper Bible, it's in the beginning of your Bible right at the front. We're going to talk a little bit about Abraham and the promise that God gave to Abraham. God promised Abraham some things, which some of them came to fruition soon after, and some took a very long time. And so just a backstory. I know that most of you would probably know this story. Abraham called by God to leave his place of where his family was to go somewhere. And God didn't say where. He just said go somewhere, this promised land. That's kind of what we've come to call it, right? Promised land. And so they do. Abraham and Sarah, their names were different before. God changed their name, and they had kids, and their kids have kids, and then their kids' kids have kids, and then Joseph is born. Joseph, if you've seen the movie Prince of Egypt, it's about that guy. Am I right? That's right. Okay. No? It's Joseph, King of Dreams. There we go. There we go. There we go. That was Moses. That was Moses. Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Garrett. Okay. So anyways, so we're going to pick up right here. Joseph is on his deathbed. So he's dying. Generations have come and gone since Abraham, and now they're in this place called Egypt, which we know, right? And so this is what we're going to pick up in verse 24. I'm reading in the New Living Translation. Here we go. It says this, "Soon I will die," Joseph told his brothers, "but God will surely come to help you and lead you out of this land of Egypt. He will bring you back to the land he solemnly promised to give to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob." Let's pray. God, we pray again. We know that prayer is something that is important for us to do, and so we just take time to do it right here in this second. Would you speak to us again? God, we ask, Holy Spirit, have your way. We ask that you would, God, that you would just come and that your presence would be here, that we would know it and that we would be changed by it. Speak to us through your word that is powerful and use us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I call this sermon Waymaker. It's relevant because there's that new song called Waymaker, right? But it's also relevant because God is the way maker still. So this is all about kind of God making a way for us, all right? So quick story, Gladys Elwood was a woman born in England in 1902, all right? So Gladys, we'll just call her Gladys from now on. When she turned 25, God called her to serve people in a big country in Northern Asia. And she said, okay, God, I'm a single woman. I'll do it. I don't think this really happens, right, in 1902, or sorry, it would be 1927 at this point. So she goes to different agencies to help her get there, and they all turn her away and say, no, you're too young. You're a single woman. You have bad grades in your schooling. You're 5 foot tall. You just can't do it. Like, just go be a housekeeper somewhere. They literally told her this. And so she was certain that God wanted her to go to this place to live and to work and to share the truth. And so, I love this part. She took her Bible and she put all of her money on her Bible in a row, just like, I don't know why it was in a row, but it was. And she said this to God. This is the quote. She said, here's my Bible. Here's all the money I have. Here's me. Find some way to use me, God. She just like, that was like her prayer. And probably in the moment, it wasn't this big epic thing, but I feel like that's pretty epic for her to say that. So she eventually travels by herself to this nation in Northern Asia by train through Russia, and it's during the war. And like, there's in her story is bullets flying through the train. She's hearing like things blasting around her. There's soldiers. They're like, why is this lady on here? She had to get off the train at one point and trudge through the snow back to another, to the old station. It's just insane. You should read her story. There's a movie about her. And it's amazing and it's shocking and it's unbelievable, right? There was, like I said, a movie that was made about her life. And Newsweek magazine reviewed the movie, right, about her life. And they said, they said something about it, and this reader read this thing about this summary. I know this is kind of a weird trail, but it's getting somewhere. Newsweek writes an article about the movie, critiquing it. The reader of the article critiques the article and says about the movie and about the article, in order for a movie to be good, the story should be believable. Isn't that crazy? So her story is so unbelievable, they shouldn't even have made a movie of it. Come on, like God can make a way, even if there is no way, but even if that way seems unbelievable to you or to me. And so Gladys obeyed God, and God made a way in the most unbelievable way. If you are a follower of Jesus here today, you're going to be called to something. Maybe it's not this big thing. Maybe it is. Maybe it's a little thing. And when I say call, I know that whole word is like, what does that even mean? Just the desires that God is putting in your heart for his heart, for what he wants in this world. And so sometimes we're called to things that are insignificant in our eyes, and we think, hey, I'm better than that. God, I'm so much better than that. I can do so much more than that. Don't you know who you're talking to, God? And the second thing is sometimes we're called to things bigger than we ever dreamed, and we think we're so insignificant and so unworthy or so weak, right? I feel like those are kind of the two things, the two options for us as believers. And so no matter where you are, things are going to look impossible. Sometimes amount of money might look too small. Your degree, maybe you don't even have a degree, maybe you're just like, I just can't even go there, God. But what is God asking you to do? When I was a kid, at the age of 14, I got a job at McDonald's. Praise God for McDonald's. I hated it actually in the moment. I complained, and my mom got me the job. She went in and was like, "You're hiring him now," so I got a job at McDonald's at 14, and I got a check. My first check was like around $100, I remember. So for me, I was like, wow, that beats $5 mowing the lawn. Thank you, McDonald's. And I was just huge, right? I just remember thinking it's huge. I rode my bike home that day or whatever. got home, and my parents, I told them, like, I got this check. I had opened a checking account at some point, and they said, okay, we want to talk to you about something, Micah. We want to talk to you about what the Bible says about how to handle your money. And I was like, okay, cool. What do I need to do, you know? And so they talked to me about setting aside the first and the best for God. I remember them talking to me about this. And I had seen them do this, you know, at church. And, they've given me, like, hey, here's a quarter. Go give it in the offering thing, whatever. So I knew that was a thing. But I was like, but now it's my money. What do you mean the first and the best? I thought that was for me. And so I remember that just being this big struggle in my heart as a 14-year-old. All of a sudden, my $100 check didn't seem very big. It felt like very small, and I was cutting a piece off of it suddenly and just throwing it away in my mind. But that was a small moment in my life where I had to say, God, I don't know your way, but I want to follow your way because my parents say so, but also because you say so. And so I remember doing that, and I continued to do that and see God make that little bit grow bigger in different times. And so that was kind of my one of my first big challenges. And so we see in the Bible, that passage that we read, nothing similar to that. That was a very small example. But we see Abraham being called and his great-grandson, Joseph, on his deathbed, saying, I'm going to die, but God's promise doesn't die with me, all right? He's telling this to these people, and they're in Egypt, this foreign land, this massive place, probably a superpower at that time. And so it's good to remember God's promises and to trust his leading, right? And to pass that on to the generation after you. You believe that? To pass it on to your kids, your kids' kids, your great-grandkids. It sounds simple, but it's not. And so I want to look at kind of like three things that make it not simple to let God change your way, all right, to follow God's way. The first thing is timing. This is like, I should have ended with this one, but I'm going to start with it because it's so big. God's timing will be different than what you thought most times. Sometimes I've never had this experience where it's like, man, that was exactly how I would have done it, God. But usually it's different. So I don't think that the Israelites were expecting the timing that God gave them, all right? Doubt and confusion. Abraham dies. Isaac dies. Joseph dies. His 12 mean brothers die. And God's people, actually, I don't know if all of them are dead at this point, but God's people are still in Egypt, okay? And now all of a sudden they're not like, Joseph isn't second in command anymore. They're just like, hey, what do we do with these people? Let's make them slaves. And so all of a sudden they're all slaves in Egypt. And do you know, this is so crazy, this is like my favorite part. Do you know how long the Israelites were in Egypt? 430 years they were in Egypt. Do you know how long America has been a nation? Not that long. 240 years or so, right? Do you know how much style has changed in 243 years? Do you know how much technology and just, like, obviously they didn't have iPhones back then, but, you know, like, things have changed. People have changed. Thinking has changed. Generations have come and gone. In 430 years, even more so. Wouldn't you think so? And so the people there, they likely have forgotten about God and his promise, but God didn't forget, and there's some people that remembered. And God reminded them, right? And so God doesn't break his promise to them. On the 430th year, on the last day, God's people leave Egypt. Like, talk about last second. Come on. Like, isn't that crazy? I did not know that until I was looking into this. So I still am shocked by that. So we can just end there. No, but God's timing is different, right? The second thing that is different. So there's so many things that are different in God's way compared to ours. Timing is different. Also, people are different. Let me explain. People, who you thought that you would be doing life with now or in God's way will look different than who God has placed in your path or who God has brought next to you. Do you know what I mean? Who is encouraging you? Who is cheering you on? Who is giving you insight? Who is saying, I'm going with you. Who even knows what God has called you to will look different. Those people are different than who you actually thought. You might have thought, man, my high school friends, we're gonna grow old together. We're gonna be in the nursing home. I like haven't talked to my high school friends in forever, and I'm not even that old. And so, I know that you would say that's true the older you get, but the way that you do life and the way that you go God's way, you see other people going the other way, and all of a sudden this little split 40 years down the road is a massive chasm of like, wow, you're way over here doing these things, and I'm over here doing these things, and we have like nothing in common anymore. So who you do things with, who you do life with, who you do that, the things God's way with will look different than you might have initially thought. Abraham tried to force things to happen. God said, I promise you, you're going to have multitudes of children. And he was 99 when he finally had a kid, God's way. And his wife was 90. So another way to say, no matter how old you are, God can call you to things, right? And so different people, you do life with different people. You do God's way with different people than you thought. The third thing I thought of was steps. The steps that you take are different than in your way. So, for example, God's plan for the Israelites, go to the promised land, Abraham. How many different steps were between that and finally getting to the promised land? 40 years in the desert, they took steps through seas. God split the waters apart. God brought them through the desert. God brought them through places that they never thought they would have gone. And then they end up in God's place. If you have kids, you know that when they start walking, they don't see really the between. They only see the end. And we had our nephew. He's really young. He just got on his feet and he's kind of walking. And there's stairs and he doesn't see the stairs. He only sees the door or whatever is down there, you know. And so he's walking and grandma saves him as he's about to boom, 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 boom down the stairs. And so that just reminded me that as humans, as people, we still do that. Right? Like, we still see, I want that, God, and we don't care about the in-between, but God has steps in between for you, for me. Steps will look different than you thought that they would in your own way. I want to kind of come to a close here with a couple of verses that really stuck out to me. Psalm 19, 7 through 9 and 11. This is so good. I'm going to read it in the Message version. I know that some of you don't like the Message version. But hey, it's good to read sometimes. So I'm going to read it. So Psalm 19, verse 7 through 9. So good. It says this. The revelation of God is whole and pulls our lives together. The signposts of God are clear and point out the right road. The life maps of God are right, showing the way to joy. The directions of God are plain and easy on the eyes. God's reputation is 24 karat gold with a lifetime guarantee. The decisions of God are accurate down to the nth degree. And verse 11 says this, there's more. God's word warns us of danger and directs us to hidden treasure. I want to follow God's word. I want to follow God's way because that sounds a lot better than what I can offer myself or what the world can offer me. And then Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 is where I want to be at next. I'm going to read in the New Living Translation. And this one says this. Just bear with me for one more second. It says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So God says that his ways are not our ways. And if he's the way maker, if he's making a way for us, it's not our way, it's his way that he's making for us. Maybe it's through the sea. Maybe it's through the desert. Maybe it's through a valley or a mountaintop or Egypt. Or Northern Asia, or Delano. I don't know where it is, but God is making a way for you wherever you're at. Things are going to look different. Timing will look different, probably. steps will look different. People will probably look different. But God's way is better still. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to fall on our faces. We're going to tumble down the stairs. but God's way is still better. We have to trust his way before our way. God is the way maker. So I'm gonna close with this. Is it okay if I have Essie come play? Is that okay? Okay, Essie. She's going to play. And I just want to sing. I want her to sing a chorus, and I want us to reflect for just that chorus. Just about, God, what way have I missed, or what way are you putting in front of me that is scary, or what is God speaking to you specifically about him as your way maker? Because I think it's so easy. I a lot of times I listen to a sermon from a pastor, and I'm like, oh, man, this would be so good for my brother Caleb. Oh, I got to tell him this. But today, this is for you. Maybe your brother Caleb needs to hear this, but today, this is for you, too. This is for me.